everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
He's the best-selling author of over 30 books, having interviewed 6 American presidents, 7 first ladies, 19 presidential children, and 12 presidential siblings, as well as co-founding the renowned Charity Awards and later Mercy Corps, which has distributed $2 billion in food and medicine worldwide. And this just for starters. This statesman of honor has had the honor of being advisor to 2 American presidents and knows well the ins and outs of the highest office in the land, which is why his latest #1 New York Times bestselling, Inside Trump's White House, The Real Story of His Presidency, should come as no surprise. So why the death threats prior to its release? And what in over 600 pages of raw quotes from the president himself, his family, and top aides would be so damning, revealing, and exposing? Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to Testimony, a high honor indeed, presidential historian, author, speaker, humanitarian, and authorized biographer of President Donald J. Trump, Mr. Doug Weed. Mr. Weed, Doug, if I may, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you so much, Jensine. It's great to hear your voice.
Well, Mr. Weed, before we begin part one of our 2-part conversation, I would love our listeners to hear just a little of your own faith journey, how you came to faith in Christ, and how that has impacted what you are doing today as America's presidential historian. And then let's get right into your stunning and brilliantly written Inside Trump's White House. Doug Weed, please tell us that story.
Well, I grew up in an evangelical home, and that doesn't guarantee anything, as you know, because there were 4 boys in the family, and we all went different ways, but somehow it stuck with my brother and I, the youngest brother, and I was the 3rd one, and I'm just very, very grateful and thankful to have had God's help all these years.
Amen and amen. And we have a president in the office who is very vocal about his religious belief and in defense of religious freedom. So that sounds like a very good fit to me. So let's get right to it. In an earlier interview, you mentioned having received death threats prior to the release of your book on President Trump, and not just you, your family as well. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, we got multiple death threats, and they were very specific names of all our children and details about their lives that showed some pretty complicated research. And the author said that this book should not go forward and should not be published. And it was serious enough that the house that printed my book, the editor, said in 40 years she'd never... They had never had a death threat, and she offered to withdraw the book from publication. Let me keep my money and just not publish it. I said, no, I asked the kids, no, they believe in freedom of speech, and we went forward.
Well, praise God that you did. Now, at the time of this recording of our interview today, impeachment proceedings have been levied against the president, Donald J. Trump, for no apparent legal, accurate, or substantiated reason. Your thoughts after garnering firsthand commentary from the president himself?
Well, I'm watching this, and I find it very, very fascinating. It seems like the accusations and the tone and the justification for the accusation has changed pretty dramatically. I mean, just a few weeks ago, a Democratic presidential candidate said that the Constitution was gated, and the Democrats were talking about changing the Constitution so they could add Supreme Court members increased the number, diluted until they got the kind of decisions they wanted from the Supreme Court. They talked about changing the Electoral College and scrapping that whole section of the Constitution. They talked about ending the Second Amendment on campuses. They brought in a Stanford professor to argue why the president should be impeached, but at Stanford University, they don't allow the First Amendment. Freedom of speech isn't allowed on campus. So it's very odd to hear Nancy Pelosi talking about the Constitution, which is compelling her to lead to impeachment. And she's talking about the Founding Fathers. Only a few weeks ago, they were saying that the Founding Fathers are all criminals and slave owners, and Project 1619 from the New York Times wanted to totally rewrite the curriculum in America's schools. And so it's kind of, things are changing very rapidly. It's hard to keep up with all of it.
Wow. Why was the 2016 election the biggest upset in presidential campaign history? Can you elaborate?
Well, they didn't expect it. And they, meaning the powers that be, just stop and think. Every single former president voted for Hillary Clinton. The billionaires in America, your listeners can Google this themselves to see, voted 20 to 1 for Hillary Clinton. 419 newspapers endorsed her, only 19 endorsed him. They had the money, 6 to 1. They had the largest ground game in American political history, almost 800,000 volunteers. They had Hollywood, they had academia, they had big business. If you look through the list of the top 10 largest corporations in America, the CEOs of all but one of them are Democrat, and the chairman of the board of all but one are Democrat. They voted, most of them overwhelmingly donated to the Clinton Foundation before they supported her politically. So for Donald Trump to win against that, Of course, it was unexpected.
Do you think the president would have run for office knowing the hell that would be unleashed prior and after his election?
I think he would have. I've talked to him about it, and he knows that it's bad, and it is worse than he thought it would be and that he was prepared for, but I think he'd have run anyway. For years, he sat there at his desk, his children, Ivanka, Don Jr., Eric, playing at his feet, and he'd rip up the newspaper and underline things and file things, and he was kind of, was almost a nerdy guy that was saying, why doesn't the government do this? Why don't they do that? Kept hoping that somebody would come along and correct the most outrageous things that were occurring, but nobody ever did. So he finally ran for president himself.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to presidential historian Doug Weed on his latest must-read, Inside Trump's White House. Doug, you were given firsthand access to confidential documents at the authorization of the president, who was very careful to outline stipulations and protocol, in particular, his meeting with Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Can you share about that?
Yeah, they took a year or so to decide whether to really let me in. They'd been burned before by writers, and I tried my best to assure them that my purpose was to record what they thought, what they were saying as primary sources for history. We had enough anonymous books and secondhand, thirdhand stories created from people who publicly denied that the events ever took place. I wanted primary sources. And so he opened up. Finally, after about a year, he decided, okay, you can talk to anybody you want to. He offered this private correspondence that I could have access to that. And if they're going to open the door, I walked through it.
Amen. Did that surprise you?
It did. The extent of the freedom he gave me to, I told him I wanted to interview the cabinet, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders was there when we had this conversation. He said, sure, talk to anybody you want. So with that kind of introduction, I thought, okay, well, before I interview the cabinet, I want to interview Jared and Ivanka. I want to interview Don Jr. and Laura and Eric and Tiffany. And I want to interview you, Mr. President, the cabinet later. And I, as it turned out, I did interview some of the cabinet foreign ministers and some hostages and Paula White, some of his friends. But mostly I stayed right in the Trump family. It was just too interesting to me.
Right. It's very interesting. I'm just really enjoying reading your book. Let's continue. Talk about Russia collusion and why, according to Jared Kushner, if I have it right, might be the gift for the greater good and his role in achieving this.
Yeah. Nobody wanted Russian collusion and the accusations. That's awful and a terrible, president called it a witch hunt and a hoax. It's rather ridiculous. But Jared did make the point to the president. He said, you know, if they had made up lies about your building your casino, New Jersey, Atlantic City, and they made up lies about zoning boards in New York, people might have believed them. They would have been so complicated, they wouldn't have known whether to believe them or not. But they picked the one scandal that is so ridiculous that you are so provably innocent. And so in that sense, it's a blessing. And, of course, the kids, the Trump kids told me as they traveled around the world from time to time, heads of state would pull them aside and say, please tell your father how sorry we are if he's going through this Russian collusion nonsense. And when I heard that, I thought, well, of course. Of course, if you're the president of France or you're the prime minister of the UK, if you're Benjamin Netanyahu and you see this article in the New York Times, you're going to get on the phone and call the Mossad, your secret service, and you're going to say, tell us, we want to know right now, please. You know, I've known the Trumps all my life. Is he a Russian spy or not? I need to know by 6 p.m. tonight because the future of the economy of their country, the future of the defense of their country, all depends on whether or not that's true. So the whole world knew. They couldn't wait for 2 years for the Mueller investigation. There's 120 intelligence agencies in the world, and they all figured it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally acclaimed author, writer, speaker, and presidential historian, Doug Weed. His latest number one New York Times best-selling, Inside Trump's White House, the real story of his presidency. You can learn more about Doug Weed's work, ministry, and mission by visiting DougWeed.com and get his book, Get Informed, and get the real story from those who have lived it and in their own words, as officially authorized from the president himself, Donald J. Trump. Mr. Weed, Doug, sir, what a great honor bringing your voice to testimony for such a time as this. We applaud your courage, perseverance, and commitment in the face of evil, and yes, death threats too, to pen a true historical account of the 45th president of these United States and for generations to come. We look forward to hearing much, much more next week. God bless and protect you.
Thank you, Jenzine Bard. Great.
Last week, you heard just a sampling of the amazing and historical life of a man who has been the confidant of presidents, founder and co-founder of renowned charitable organizations, a New York Times best-selling author that spans 40-plus years, 30-plus books, some of which include Game of Thorns, the inside story of Hillary's failed campaign and Donald Trump's winning strategy, All the President's Children, Triumph and Tragedy in the Lives of the First Families, The Raising of a President, The Mothers and Fathers of Our Nation's Leaders, George Bush, Man of Integrity, and now with his latest, perhaps greatest, just released New York Times best-selling Inside Trump's White House, The Real Story of His Presidency, my next guest promises to deliver even more of the real story you haven't heard and never imagined, and the death threats as a result from those who feared its publication. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome back to Testimony for part two of my conversation with presidential historian and official authorized autobiographer for President Donald J. Trump family and top aides, Mr. Doug Weed. Mr. Weed, Doug, sir, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you, Jensen. Great being with you.
Well, it's great to have you. I loved our first segment, so let's get right into your amazing book. Talk about America's shameful secret and how it took a president, Donald J. Trump, to change all that.
You know, there's a description in the book about the first day in the White House for Donald Trump, and he's in the Oval Office, and he wants to do everything, everything. Wants to turn the economy around, wants to create jobs. He wants to move the embassy in Israel. He wants to defeat ISIS. He wants to do everything his first day. He's waited his whole life to correct so many of the wrong things. But one of the things that he discovers that's deeply troubling to him is that Americans have been held hostage by governments, even some of our friends, even one of our NATO partners. They've been held in prison all over the world, and they have been left to languish there by two American presidents for 16 years, a Republican and a Democrat. And the United States government's policy was silence. When news media would try to call attention to these hostages, you know, in some cases, there was one young lady who was raped and tortured and eventually murdered. There were several men who were beheaded. When the media tried to write about these hostages, the U.S. government would bully them and tell them no, they can't, and back down. When the families of these hostages would try to get publicity or help or prayers for their loved ones, the government would try to influence them and bully them into staying quiet. If you want our help, you're going to have to stay quiet. Otherwise, you're on your own. And when Donald Trump found that, he was livid. And it started out with good intentions. The idea was, if you give a lot of attention to these hostages, it's going to increase their value and more will be taken hostage. But it turned into something much darker, where the government was basically covered for doing nothing. So Donald Trump used the power of America's economic might to take some of these countries right to the edge. You give our people back. And it worked. The last week, President of Turkey, Erdogan, took a tour, a speaking tour in Turkey, where he mocked President Trump, and he was not going to let Andrew Brunson go at all, and assured the Turkish people. And Trump literally took the Turkish economy right over the edge of the cliff. And finally, Erdogan said, okay, you can have it, And they let Andrew Brunson go, who I interviewed, by the way. But that was America's shameful secret, as I described it in the book.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to presidential historian Doug Weed on his stunning, just released, Inside Trump's White House, The Real Story of His Presidency. Doug, the liberal media, Democrats, deep state, and even his own party at times has been relentless, I would say vicious, treasonous, and treacherous in vilifying and seeking to depose a U.S. president the second he took office. And yet, despite unimaginable opposition from every corridor, this president, Donald J. Trump, has accomplished more in his first few years in office than any of his predecessors. Can you expound?
Yeah, he's given us peace and prosperity, and that's the gold standard. That's what you want in a presidency, and you know it when you don't have it, and it's terrible, it's miserable. But it looks like the country gets used to it and it takes it for granted. It's wonderful. I mean, stop and think. We have 7 million unfilled jobs. That's the population of the state of Indiana. We have 6 million people that have gone off food stamps. Everything that social engineers and the most liberal politicians, Hubert Humphrey, LBJ, everything they ever dreamed of or wanted for the poorest of the poor in America or for the disenfranchised minorities in America has all come true under Donald Trump. He's the first president in 40 years not to have invaded someone. We invade Panama and we invade Grenada and Bosnia and Libya. There's always Iraq. There's always someone that we need to invade. But we've had, so far, up till now, almost 4 years of first term of a presidency without starting a new hot war. That's amazing.
Do you think God was in the electing of Donald J. Trump? Your views.
Yeah, I think so. There's no question about it. I worked in the White House of George H.W. Bush, who served as Ronald Reagan's vice president for 8 years and then president himself for 4 years. And I remember in White House personnel, I remember someone coming by and say, you know, when an application comes in here, if it says on the application, Gordon Cornwall Theological Seminary, they drop it in the wastebasket. This is a conservative Republican administration that was really put in power by the votes of evangelical Christians. And yet there didn't seem to be any place for them in government. We had in the IRS, we had complaints that the IRS was pulling the tax exemptions for evangelical ministries. So there were so many complaints, the president had me look into it, and we found that of the top 300 IRS officials, there was one evangelical Christian. It was a Catholic Pentecostal. I brought him in to lunch in the White House mess and said, why is it that this agency doesn't, you know, 40% of the country are born again. Why aren't at least 10%? He said, oh, I don't think it's that bad. I said, great. So now you got Donald Trump. He's loaded the court, and he has not discriminated against evangelical Christians. He's appointed them along with everybody else. It's true diversity.
Amen and amen. Now, you have interviewed all of the Trump children, Donald Jr., Eric, Ivanka, Tiffany. Who surprised you the most and why?
Well, they're all fascinating. Jared is just brilliant. He's strategic in his thinking. Ivanka is just amazing. She refuses to be bitter. She says that. I will not be bitter. She said, I can't function unless I'm happy. So I choose to be happy. That was very impressive to me. I was very impressed with Don Jr., who's a leader with Eric and Laura. They're just absolutely darling. And Tiffany has to be one of the biggest surprises to me. She's funny. She's very supportive of her father, loves her father in spite of public portrayals. And she's told me the most wonderful story. Do you have time for a short story?
Sure. Love it.
Well, they were going to Buckingham Palace for dinner with the Queen. And they didn't have a carriage with 6 white horses, and they didn't have a motorcade. They didn't know how they were going to get there. They're in tuxedos. They're in all their gowns. This is the Trump family. So they rent a bus van, the kind that takes you to your Hertz rent-a-car at the airport. They all pile into this van, this bus, in their gowns, and they said to the driver, take us to Buckingham Palace. We're going to have dinner with the Queen.
Doug, that is so funny. Ladies and gentlemen, Doug Weed, presidential historian. I have so many questions to ask you in so little time, but here's another one. By all accounts, you are truly America's presidential historian, and yet there are many books already written about our 45th president, Donald J. Trump. What makes your book different from the others, and why, Doug Weed, 100 years from now, will be the go-to historically?
Because of primary sources. I had that conversation with Ivanka that led to the writing of this book. I said, you know, Ivanka, in a couple hundred years, when you're gone and all your children and grandchildren are gone, they're still writing books about the Trump family. It will be celebrated through history. But whether you're loved or hated, whether you're seen as the Borgias or the Medicis, or whether you're celebrated like the Kennedys or the Rockefellers, it all depends not on anonymous sources. It depends on primary sources. What you say and what your father says that will define you in history, and someone needs to write a book with those sources, and I would like to write that book.
Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally acclaimed author, writer, speaker, and presidential historian Doug Weed. His latest number one New York Times bestselling, Inside Trump's White House, the real story of his presidency. You can learn more about Doug Weed's work, ministry, and mission by visiting DougWeed.com and get his book, Get Informed, and get the real story from those who have lived it and in their own words, as officially authorized from the president himself, Donald J. Trump. A must read and heed, and then, yes, believe. Mr. Weed, Doug, sir, thank you again for the privilege and honor of bringing your voice to testimony for such a time as this amidst death threats levied against you and your family. If you dare to publish your now New York Times best-selling Inside Trump's White House, which brilliantly chronicles the first few years of a Trump presidency and exposes the lies, deception, and morally bankrupt agenda of the left while bringing light and honor, integrity, and selfless service of a president and his family, all willing to sacrifice their reputations and their pocketbooks for the good of the American people and the world at large. Make America Great Again is not just a slogan. It's become a reality, and we have our 45th president of these United States, Donald J. Trump, to humbly and gratefully thank, and you, Doug Weed, America's presidential historian, for your sacrifice and brilliance that will be chronicled for generations to come. We thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.